And next up on the stream of free radio at freakradio.org, one of my favorite spots, it's the August 1st edition of Free Radio Santa Cruz's Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. It's going to be a shorter show today, but I guess, well, usual length, I hope, but with a flashback, because I'm rushed for time. My apologies to folks. We're going to kind of go straight into it after a little of our usual musical hello with interviews from the Food Not Bombs meal, the Red Church, and here and there around the town. So stay tuned.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of breadlines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you.
So I'm talking with Linda LeMaster, who's spent many years working around homeless issues. Linda, I think she was priced out of Santa Cruz, but you do come into Santa Cruz fairly regularly.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the housing. They might have priced the housing out of my reach in Santa Cruz, but they can't get rid of me that easy.
You keep coming back. What I was asking Barnaby here, the issue of what he sees as different when he's come in, because he also spent a lot of time in Santa Cruz over the years. Does he see much in the way of change that strikes you in the last, I don't know, couple of months?
The last few months compared to the other, what, 50?
Yeah.
I think the last few years, it seems more barren every time I come to town. More barren, literally, in the sense of access to ordinary property and right-of-ways and easements and parking. People getting along around each other at a certain threshold. People start getting upset quicker. It's like, it feels like they're being put in a pressure. We're all being put in a pressure pot, the whole town, and the air is leaving it. To me. Hope it's just a metaphor, but that's how it feels. I'm oversensitive to the over-regulatedness, the lariats of laws that we have to live with compared to a healthy civic order, but that's just one part of it, really.
You also patronize Food Not Bombs with some regularity.
Oh, yeah, I feel like that's a cornerstone of my having enough support to get by here. And I get about as much as you can get for a cripple in terms of so-called entitlements and social benefits. I get free medical. I get almost two-thirds off my actual housing costs through these programs, mostly predominantly federally funded, but I still can't make it here in Santa Cruz. Now I get food stamps on top of the social disability check. I still can't scratch up more than $150 a month to eat for groceries. Without Food Not Bombs, I'm just not eating at the end of the month. I'm not saying it gets boring. I'm saying the fridge is empty.
But it's a necessary, vital part of your food chain, I guess.
Yeah. But this is a struggle I've had. I'm one of those people who raise her kids dependent on the welfare system, as we call it. family aid system that won't let you earn anything without taking a little bit away. So you never get to where you can take it easy at the end of the month. I know almost all the moms that I'm close to, who I knew raising my kids, struggle with that year in and year out, and it's worse in the winter. You know, even if you're in a church and there's two or three families looking out, watching your back, it's not enough food to give your kids a sense that you have a food security. I got that language from our friend Kim, food security. It's a political term now.
Yeah, they instead of, thanks, instead of saying going hungry, they say they have food insecurity.
Yeah, it's easier to do data entry on, I guess.
Are we ready to order?
So, at Food Not Bombs, there are folks who are both housed and unhoused, poor people generally, or just people who are supportive of Food Not Bombs. But if you had much communication with the people when you come down, because I know that you're formerly the chair of the Homeless Icky Task Force, or Homeless Issues Task Force, as it was.
Appreciate the correction.
Yes, of course. And you've also been working with Smart Solutions.
I helped create Smart Solutions to Homelessness, and I'm going to continue to help create in a way that neighbors and the people they choose to hate and fear can find to talk to other people.
Undeterred by sarcastic comments from that Norse guy who calls it dumb solutions or dumb non-solutions. But I know that also Surge has been doing a Monday night conversation at the Red Church, which happens at 6:30, and he said that you're involved with that. Have you had much?
Yes, Serge and I started it, and when he found out that I knew what I was talking about, and I was so looking for some new way to find a support group and make a safe place for it, he said, "Well, why don't we do it?" And I thought that I'd met him, I knew his background a little bit, and I thought, "Wow, that's great—a younger guy, an old hag. People will come." And we found a place at the Red Church that's way too short. It's only a 45-minute piece of time that Serge and I have custody or stewardship of this meeting place. Barnaby's seen it, but it's wonderful in every other way. The people are relaxed. So far, most people are already comfortable with the site because they either get a meal there or a bed there, or they know that church for some other reason.
Paul Lee for an hour.
Yeah, or they're part of the Penny U. We can't have our space till they leave, so every week I pray that they leave on time. I used to like to go to that, but I just have trouble sitting still these days. I have to...
Old geezer is pontificating. Paul Lee and I have become more, we approached each other more over the years, although I wouldn't say we're on the same team per se, but
he's on the Richard Albert team. He's got a lot going on that we in Santa Cruz don't think of. We just think about what he does where his feet touch the ground.
Maybe that's it.
And for those interested in Linda's conversations weekly event, it happens, as she was saying, 6:30 in the room adjacent to the... I guess it's the assembly room or the dining room. I'm not quite sure. Or the sleeping room. I guess it doubles or triples as a variety of rooms at the Calvary Episcopal Church, which is at Lincoln and Cedar Streets. And it follows her event follows the Penny University, which I guess begins at 5 or 5:30. It's open to the public. It has Paul Lee, who's... sort of author, philanthropist, sometime homeless activist of a kind. He and I have often butted heads in the past, not so much recently. He usually has a sort of a meeting of elders there where they discuss subjects, and everyone in the room kind of chimes in. And right next door is where there are lines of folks getting the one meal of the week that Calvary Episcopal gives out to the general homeless community, though they do, they're one of the churches that's part of the Association of Faith Communities 20-person sleep on the floor, get out at in the morning program, which helps 20 people out of 1,500 to 2,000 people on the streets, and has been doing that and publicizing it for 8 or 9 years. But anyway, Linda, I only attended one of these sessions, one in which Linda wasn't there, but I think you'll have to go and check it out yourself if you're interested. As you can hear, she's a very articulate and artful speaker, and she's also been homeless numerous times herself. She's a poor woman economically, and she knows what it means, and so that's good. I often disagree with her in some fundamental way because I feel that she packs too closely with folks in power and spreads the illusion that by being, I don't know, hopeful enough or persuasive enough, you'll be able to get people in power to pay some attention to those out of power by rational discussion or even a heartfelt appeal, whereas my belief is it has to be done through power. Anyway, let's hear some more from her. And again, as I remind you, it's at 6:30 every Monday. Go, you know, check out the Red Church's meal at 6 or the Penn University's event at 5:30. They're both in the same building. And then they're both free. And then check on the conversations with Linda if you're interested, Linda and Serge.
Well, now, how many folks have been coming to this meeting, which has been happening weekly for, what, 3 or 4 weeks now?
4 or 5 weeks. I missed 2. We're supposed to both be there, 6:30 to 7:15 Monday. So, as I was saying, it's sort of right after the free meal, although you don't have to be done eating. You can bring a few foods in there as far as Serge and I are concerned. And right after the PennyU, and it's in the room where the PennyU is. And it's our space. You don't have to participate in a group. You don't have to use a name, but we encourage you to pick one if you don't want to use your own. And people can pair off, or we can sit down in a group with Serge, me, and Vint. Or we can find... 1 week we had a real structure thing because everybody wanted to find out about the jump bikes because the city has a deal where you can have a membership for $5 a year. So that got up through the streets really quick. So people want to know more about the jump bike contractor deal. The city.
Are people using the jump bike thing?
In general, yes, but it's in terms of
including
the...
Including poor people?
I already knew that. And I interviewed the guy that has to go... Part of the team has to go around and round them up and put them all back in their slots before morning, like a ferry or something. But what I'm saying is when homeless people found out that citizens in general could get this really cheap deal if they only promised to use it a certain amount, kind of like the Obama home deal, they all want to know if it would help them. And from the people there that I was listening to, at least 5 out of the 6 that were really intent on listening, it will help. It'll help a lot. But it's clear to me that it's already helping some kinds of homeless people. I don't mean to separate us into our categories, but hopefully everybody knows by now there's as many different kind of homeless people as there are any other group.
Now, are there 5 or 6, you say? Is that an average turnout for the meeting?
There were 8 people at that meeting, 7 interested in the jump bike besides me and Serge, and 6, I'm saying, I think, are going to go over to the city manager, the city finance office, I mean, and find out about this and get one.
Now, I'm often impressed with Serge's... both his public statements when he makes them. He's a little bit shy on occasion.
I've seen him light up.
Yeah, he's spoken to the public safety committee, to the city council meetings, particularly around homeless issues. One thing that I have had differences of opinion with him on is this stepping out and...
Ah! Steak, lobster, a couple of shrimp on there.
You're kidding.
It's fancy shit.
It's
going
to be the ginger sauce.
And at that point, our conversation was interrupted, and, well, it was what it was. Let's interrupt this with a little music, or actually satire.
A long time ago, when John Garner was VP, he said that his job was a bucket of warm pee. We never appreciated the number 2 in the race, not even back when Dick Cheney shot somebody in the face. It was agreed by all the job was just a ticket nowhere on a one-way Greyhound bus. That's until our vice president came from the Old Testament. Every time we pray, we say, Vince is from heaven.
I can even cure the gift.
at an NFL game, don't take a knee. Or show Mike Pence a tight end,
I'll have to flee. You won't see me having lunch with women in power.
If he hears that stormy name,
I need a shower.
He only goes to movies
that are rated PG.
Pence is going to heaven, not you and me.
Won't put Siri on my phone.
Pence is from heaven.
Can't be caught with her alone.
Pence is from heaven. And he won't buy Alexa that sexy tease.
Won't even try a meal that is Lebanese.
He's got a conversion plan, man on a mission. But can he help us out with politicians?
The definition of heaven we all someday will see. There's no members of Congress eternally.
And that was Pence is from Heaven on the Make America Grin album from the Capitol Steps, which I think is this year's, or maybe last year's Capitol Steps album. They put one out every year, and you can find them online, too, with satire. It's kind of weak, often. However, when you get a right-wing Republican in office, it gets a little stronger because they tend to be a pro-Democratic Party group. Not always, but they're irresistibly centrist. Anyway, let's now hear from Food Not Bombs Food Line, which was pretty long at the end of the month, end of July, when I wandered there a few days ago. And a variety of opinions, you get to hear them.
Littering.
So we're talking with
Sonia.
We're down here at the Food Not Bombs shindig at 28th of July, about 4:10. You say that you were ticketed for littering for having a container.
It was a container with a few bottles in it, and they actually had water in them, most of them did. There was only a few, not even 12, and they were in a container.
And who ticketed you?
The police.
And what did they say as they gave you a ticket?
Pretty much that I was lucky because I had a dog on the beach. It was actually inside the tent. They didn't know I had a dog.
So were you camping overnight on the beach?
I was.
Shameful, shameful.
No, it was terrible.
Have you been hassled for doing that?
No.
And how long have you been out there with the tent?
2 days.
Have you noticed anybody else doing it?
Yes.
How many folks would you estimate? How many tents?
Probably 10.
And have you heard of anybody getting any tickets or hassles?
No.
But what about tickets for things such as having a container and littering?
What about... No, no.
So you're the first victim you've heard of.
Yes. So I left everything on the beach. I already got the ticket. I'm not going to clean it up now.
Fair enough. Any experiences with Starbucks one way or the other downtown?
No.
Just my Roger. I've heard some reports. I was curious. We've been talking with...
Sonia.
Thank you, babe.
And that kind of... it disputes my narrative that I occasionally express, that the ticketing for camping has been replaced by ticketing for other kinds of essentially non-criminal offenses, but that are used to essentially control, manipulate, pressure, and I would say tyrannize in its own way. But what they're essentially, it's a way of exerting a kind of do what we say or else quality to homeless folks outside who. The overwhelming majority have no place to go, so they sleep where they have to. Many of them by the roadside, some of them in the Poganip, some in the beaches, as you've heard. And because of the Boise versus Martin decision, it's a no-no to give them a ticket for that, or it risks the city having some legal liability or not being able to enforce it or getting a bad rap from at least 3 council members or maybe 2 and maybe a third if Brown is in a good mood. She's an opponent of the sleeping ban. I want to be fair to her on that. So, but instead you get this tickets for a container on the beach, although It's reassuring to hear that she hasn't heard of citations for other people camping on the beach. But again, the last time I heard all this happening as far as the beach camping went, we got one of our Huff activists, Greg, came to a meeting called, I called him Beach Greg to distinguish him from another Greg that came to our Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting. He noted that while there had been some camping on the beach for a while and people had been left alone, they were kind of happy with Chief Mills' approach to this. Soon afterward, he came to the next meeting and said they were driven away to Depot Park, no less, yes. Friends of Depot Park, take note. Those who were concerned that the city council suddenly came up with a horrible plan to put people in Depot Park at night, 50 of them, and then have them go away by day. That this was originally done by Parks and Rec and by the police department half a year before. Actually, this was in the right before the Ross Camp started. And then people, of course, were sent to Ross Camp area, which became quickly overcrowded. And the city did not take any kind of measures to alleviate the overcrowding by establishing subsidiary campgrounds, which would have, I think, gone a long way towards alleviating the health and safety problems. But I think one can speculate as to the motives of the city for allowing this to happen. Part of it, I think, was because it actually facilitated law enforcement because all the people were in one place, many of them. They weren't all the people, of course, at all, because it's 200 to 300 people is only a fraction of the homeless. But a significant number of people were in one place, and so they could be, there would be less concern by the apprehensive segments of the community that don't want to see a poor-looking person in their neighborhood for longer than 5 minutes. And that, but of course, they got a nice opportunity to throw things over the fence at them and to start ranting and raving. Why don't they just essentially demolish the camp and send the people off to nowhere? And in order to do that, the city, of course, created the fantasy that they were sending them all into other campgrounds. There is only one campground, that's 1220 River, run by Eric Snickars and the Salvation Army now. Actually, it's run by people above him, but he's the director. And it houses 61 people. That's a drip in the piss bucket, so to speak. And speaking of piss buckets, as I always say in this show, reminding people all the restroom facilities, actually not restrooms, but porta-potties, that were out at the Ross Camp have been taken away, and there's no longer the facilities, but there's still just as many people. And that means just as much shit and piss in the community and just as much obliviousness by authorities and just as much hostility by neighbors who can scream and rant and rave that people are crapping in their neighborhood at the same time as they refuse to pressure the city to establish bathroom facilities. It's grotesque. We had talked about, some of us over at the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom group and the Conscience in Action group, it also is a sort of a second group that's been concerned with these issues and done a number of protests anyway around the issue, took over the Loudoun Nelson women's bathroom, opened it up to children and women at a time when the authorities under Izeth Ray were keeping it closed unless you are a participant in a program there. But we, took a stand. And they backed off, but only for that short period of time when we were there. So we may be down tomorrow at First Friday, some of us tabling. I'm not sure how many of us are going to be able to do that. The people who had originally agreed to do the tabling have suddenly developed other priorities. And we'll have to see if it happens. But what we're trying to do is arrange to get volunteers for more direct actions to engage in vivid, theatrical, and widely publicized protests that showed the community the pressing need for bathroom facilities. It's a health matter. It's not just a homeless issue. I mean, I approach it as a homeless issue, but it's also really a health matter. Anyway, let's hear some more from the Food Not Bombs line.
Any reports, sir?
Yeah, I got kicked out of River Street.
Tell me about it.
I don't know why I got 86th.
River Street, the camp. River
yep.
Street,
the and I'm the guy that saved the guy in the fire.
I remember.
In the
accident. Now, okay, now that you mention it, yeah. I remember.
But I got 86 out there, and I didn't do anything. They haven't even notified me, but someone told me that.
How long were you there for?
Over a month or more.
And when were you kicked out?
I guess a couple weeks ago.
Have you attempted to appeal it, or do you want to appeal it?
Well, I
want to
know why the soup said I got 86.
If you call me, you know, I can ask. I'll give you Eric's number. I mean, you probably have.
Yeah. Eric's the guy that's been doing it. There's some shitty stuff been going on there.
I want to hear anything else you want to say about
that? Not on the rip. I've seen some people who staff and work here smoking meth. Maybe that's probably why. And I didn't see them until just now.
We've been talking with, if you want to say.
Robert Woodley.
Thank you, Robert.
And actually, I then did an interview with Robert more extensively, which I'm going to play now, interrupting this Food Not Bombs line of speakers. So let's listen to that.
With
Robert Woodley.
And Robert, you are a former resident of 1220. You're also, of course, a Ross Camp resident, someone who saved some folks who were in an auto accident and became rather famous for it.
Yes, I did.
And also, you've been helping people regularly at Ross Camp and elsewhere.
Yes.
And you also had some contact with another Ross Camp resident, Greg.
Yes.
What's cooking with Greg? I haven't seen him here tonight.
Oh, I saw him today. He said he just got kicked out. He grabbed, what's his name, Rick's throat today or something. That's what he told me. He's been kicked out 5 times. He still gets to go back. I've been 86 from there. I don't know why. No one's ever talked to me or anything. My tent's still there. And that's not right because I didn't do anything. And it's news to me that I couldn't go back.
Are you interested in appealing this?
Because,
yes. All right, so what we need to do is, again, get your phone number. And not that we can do shit about this, and we might be able to. You have, I think you've gotten my card before.
Yes, I have another one. My friend Boston's got some issues. People are stealing people's stuff to work here. People's stuff that they released into the office that their phones charged. People have their SIM cards taken out. People found stuff in the van instead of in their tents. I've had stuff taken from mine when I moved in, and I wasn't there. All of a sudden, my backpack or my sleeping bag pad was taken while security is there, and I wasn't there.
How long were you there for?
I was there for about a month and a half.
And how was there? So,
it was kind of okay. But it's gotten to where they are just being selective and they're being shady about things.
What do you attribute this?
For personal experience, myself being there, I don't usually say anything to anybody. But my
why do you think this is happening?
I think it's too much comfort and too much power for some people, you know, over their head, you know, because you're like a prisoner there in a sense. Some of these people. I mean, I don't have a problem, but I do have a problem. You have to be there a certain time. Then they cut the bus off of the van. They're allowing people to come there at 8:45, 9 o'clock, 9:15, after the van's here. I told them, I have a truck, I could park and walk in, but if you had a bicycle, you could come and go, which I thought is kind of, you know, double standard.
Indeed, discriminatory and unnecessarily restrictive.
I have bone on bone on my leg due to my injuries from my job that I'm still dealing with the herniated disc in my back. And fortunately, in their van I was riding in, I was in the very back, be courteous to someone one night, just prior to me getting kicked out, supposedly. I was getting out, and I was in the very back, and there's a narrow little spot. So as I walked through, my foot got caught, and my injured leg from my job almost went backwards, hyperextended. So I kind of stood up and injured my back. I fell to the floor in the van. They opened the doors, and I said, look, you know, I hurt myself. I'm not riding this van anymore in the back, okay? And this guy said, oh, well, go to the hospital. I said, look, I go to the hospital. I'm under workman's comp still for 7 years with Granite Rock. I'm not done with my knee, let alone my back. I don't want to open a can of worms, but I'm glad you know. So I went to my tent, went to sleep. Next day, I got up, and I rode out of there in the van. And then I told myself, I'm not going back there. You know, I'm not riding the very back. So the guy, Rick, I saw on a Friday night, came to me at Coral Street and said, hey, I went into the van in the very back, and I saw there's not much room to walk. And he's a short guy. He goes, you're a foot and a half taller than me. He had a problem in there. He goes, you know what? You're not going to ride in the back of that van anymore. I said, yeah, exactly. And he goes, well, you know, you left the camper. So I said, well, I left because I'm not riding that van. I injured myself. And if I went to the emergency room that night, I would be open to can of worms. You people will be answering to the Salvation Army. Salvation Army will be answering to Granite Rock. I'm not a Sioux happy person. I'm still not Sioux them, but I already have injuries. I don't need this, but, you know, I said I would hurt myself really bad, so I went to my tent, and everybody said, oh. I said, I was, because I was kind of loud, and they're all, well, you're never saying nothing to anybody. I said, exactly, but I hurt my leg and my back like I did when I got injured. I still have to deal with them, but the guy said, well, do what you got to do. And I said, look, if I went to the hospital, you guys better call Salvation Army, because they're going to have to work with call Granite Rock's attorney.
Now, how soon after that did they tell you had to leave?
3 days, because that next morning, everything was good. I get up in the morning, I go on the van, I leave there, and I told myself, because I was hurt, I was like, you know, I don't need this. So I stayed in my truck after that. Then that's when I met Rick on Coral Street, and he came up to me and talked to me about how he went into the van thing, but he never told me I was 86 and everything. And some people were saying, the staff were saying, we're all panicking because I'm trying to sue. I said, whoa, I never said that. I said, if I went to the hospital on this, then I'd open a can of worms. I don't need to do that because I'm still dealing with Granite Rock.
How long ago were you evicted from this place?
A couple months ago. I've been out here on the streets for a month or so.
And how has it been in your van?
I've had some people knock on the door, stuff the truck. I parked up by the sash mill there. I have my pickup. Mm-hmm. I've had some people, like, tap on the door and stuff, but I kind of put stuff up to hide, and I stay out of there and have them to walk around, you know.
No tickets yet?
No. I have my handicap, so I park in the spots. So I stay low-key because I'm there, I'm not. But having my leg messed up...
How's the bathroom situation?
It kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I try to use the public and sit out, and, you know. I see, walking around, I see the campsites with people, and I see all the trash and everything. I smell the, you know, people use it not going to proper places. It's kind of this...
Proper places don't often exist around
yes.
here.
And that's what I tell people. It really is bad when you don't
is
have a place.
Is this thing usable at night, by the way? My point.
That one, yes, I've used it myself.
Recently?
Yes.
So that's the one at Cedar and Lincoln Streets
yes,
here.
Sir.
And is that open 24 hours or just at night?
You know what? At nighttime, I've come here about 11:30 and it was open.
Is it open during the day?
I don't know. I haven't been there in the daytime, just towards the evening.
And it used to be open only at night. Then I thought they opened at 24 hours. There are 3 porta potties that are actually open.
Where are the other two?
One of them is down 2 blocks. On Cedar, I'm told.
Okay, where they're building the apartments, right?
Possibly.
Okay.
And the other one is the one over on...
By the Laurel Street.
Okay. Laurel and Front
yeah,
Street.
Yeah, that was pretty dirty a lot
right.
of times.
Well, thanks for the update. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I tell the truth. I stick by it. If it gets me in trouble, so be it. I don't lie. I'm an honest person, and I really hate the fact that I have to complain to somebody on something that there's people out there worse off than me. I'm a helper, not a helpee. But
well,
unfortunately,
you have to help yourself too.
Yes, but you know what? I told the truth, and I got railroaded, and the council people took pictures of me, you know, saying, "Hey, here, this, that." No one's ever offered to help me on anything, and I told you I got a trespassing ticket. I still got to deal with that issue.
How long ago was that?
That was in January, and I left in the end of January. I paid one payment on my trespass. I told them I was there to try to find my bicycle. And then I had to go to North Carolina. My dad, I got to spend 2 months with my dad before he passed away. When I came back, my truck gets ripped off at Ross. I get it back a day later. I find it myself. It's just been one bull crap after another. Sorry, the language.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
And I'm an easy guy to help people, but, you know, having your stuff stolen, but to get it back, it's like just too much.
I would get extremely upset myself.
But I'm trying not to be a mean, violent person. I'm easygoing. But, you know, when I'm dealing with my injuries and my job,
it
and then being
puts
homeless.
Stress on you, man.
And then people look at me in 2 different ways because I'm homeless. Here I am homeless. I help people. I saved a guy's life. So now I'm looked at it 2 different ways. Meaning, in other words, people look at me know that I'm homeless. And on another hand, they look at me, I saved some guy's life, that I'm a good person. But, you know, I
you don't have
ashamed.
To save someone's life to be a good person.
Well, you know what I mean.
You know, but
I mean,
I hear what you're saying.
I feel embarrassed when I go to a stoplight and I have to sit there, wait for the light, and knowing that people know who I am. Which is good and bad. You know what I'm saying?
You're a famous man. What can we say and all that?
I know. I've got one more interview coming with the gentleman. I really want to meet him. And he wants to meet me, the guy I saved, because he's really messed up. And I do want to see him.
Anyway, we'll be trying to put you in touch with the Union, Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless, which is,
yes.
you know, mostly a mite. Come into existence kind of organization. But Alicia Cool does work on that stuff. I'm going to give you her phone number. I encourage you to give her a call and
yes.
and see if Tell her you want her to advocate for you. Do you want to get back into that place?
Because it's easier for me to stay there. Have a place to go while I'm here in town instead of trying to go and stay in Watsonville somewhere and then not have the finances to come here to take care of what I need to take care of. That's really bad. I'm working on, and then I get hit by a car on Sunday, so that really makes things up. And my leg.
You're showing me the Band-Aid on your arm.
And I got a big old gouge here on my thigh. That's my injured leg on a bicycle. So.
And before I hear any more horror stories, we've been talking with
Robert Woodley.
And now back to the earlier Food Not Bombs conversations in line.
You were at Starbucks in downtown Pacific Avenue.
Yeah.
What's your first name?
Dalton.
And what happened?
I just bought a refill for my friend, who's an older gal, who looks more indigenous a little bit, I guess, than I do.
And you say that you did this because she was getting hassled?
Yeah, she said she didn't have a good time. Like, last time she asked for a refill, so I was like, oh, well, I'll just do it for you. I'll try to do it for you.
Were they refusing her access to a bathroom?
I don't know. Not that I'm aware of. No, I don't know.
Fair enough. Well, thank you. We've been talking.
Of course. Dalton.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
I got a biochip in me. It didn't happen here. It happened in Contra Costa County when I had a job. Okay. I end up over here. They're still doing it to me over here. They're talking to me. They're running. It feels like electricity going through my body.
It's, how long has this been happening?
3 years. It's doing that to me. They're cooking me. They're doing it. It's 5G electronic harassment.
And what's your first name?
Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
But I'm interested in finding out what's going on with the use of public bathrooms. I hear they're very restricted and limited.
That's been my experience, particularly at night. There are 3 porta-potties downtown and nothing else.
I know there's been some efforts to try to change that. Have they been successful or those efforts are still underway?
They're still underway, and if you're interested, come to this meeting on Wednesday because we're planning more actions.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. What's your first name?
Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
And that's the old Conscience in Action / Huff group on Wednesday, meets at 11 o'clock at the Sub Rosa Cafe. Check it out. We met in diminished numbers yesterday, and we probably postponed actions on the bathroom struggle, as we call it, but we haven't given it up. We may be down, some of us tomorrow, tabling for First Friday in the afternoon around 5 o'clock. You might find us down at Soquel and Pacific near Forever 21. Right around the corner from the garage bathrooms on Soquel and Front Street, and right across from New Leaf Market, which has abandoned the public as far as having a bathroom that's accessible even to their customers, maybe even to their employees. It's not entirely clear. Let's hear some more from the... Well, actually, I'm going to do a little musical break here, and then we'll hear more.
Hello, everyone. NRA President Wayne LaPierre here. I'd like to come out tonight and offer my heartfelt condolences to all of the gun owners out there. Now, I know these are trying times. Even the most sensible gun laws, like wanting larger ammo clips for when the deer shoot back, are getting very, very difficult to pass. Now, look, I raised my children, Smith, Wesson, and AK, to be very respectful, but it seems that the NRA has a real problem with the younger generation. Kids, we can't seem to manage our kids these days. Kids, now demanding gun control right away. Kids, they are insubordinate, bratty, liberal hacks. Whining, tweeting, Tide Pod eating slackers. And while we're on the subject, kids, they post and hashtag like they have a clue. Kids, ever hear of amendment number 2? Mostly they're all just actors hired to be this way. That's why they hate the NRA. I guess it's true what they say. $30 million doesn't buy you near as many legislators as it used to. I mean, you know, what's next? Are we going to need a 30-day waiting period before you can buy a congressman? I'll tell you something, you will get sensible gun control laws when you pry my paid legislators from my cold, dead hand. Kids, with their internet and their heartfelt pleas. Kids, made Marco Rubio cry on TV. Soon they will all be tweeting hashtag make my day and taking aim at the NRA. We'd have gotten away with it if it weren't for those meddling kids.
A veteran couple living here in Santa Cruz for a couple of years. We're still struggling to be able to get a single place that will accept our HUD VASH Section 8. It's been over a year.
Why don't you move to Colorado?
Well, I'll tell you, because we moved here because I have a career here. I'm a software engineer, and I do volunteer security software for several of the outlets here.
So you have a reason for being here that
right.
keeps you here.
Yeah, we didn't just blow in like a tumbleweed. We came here on purpose, you know? And it's been... Oh, this is all for her. It's been a real struggle. Luckily, we have about as beautiful weather that we can get here. And people are very friendly. There may be this stigma about homelessness, but I've been a lot of places, and I've never been to a place that the homeless are so friendly as they are here.
The homeless are friendly, or they're friendly to the homeless?
No. They're not very friendly to the homeless, but the homeless are friendly to the city. We've been here for going on 2 years. I have not had one person have an attitude like they wanted to start a fight. For the most part, I'd say this is about as pretty of a place that it gets. The problem is that it's a xenophobic tourist town that you can't... if you didn't grow up going to school here, they don't like you. But if you went to school here, you can't afford to live here. So the only people that can afford to be here are from somewhere else. But if you're from somewhere else, we don't like you.
And again, we've been...
Silicon Valley.
I know. Which is ironic since we're the only ones that can afford to live here.
We've been talking with...
Yep. This is Aaron Horseman.
Thanks, Aaron.
In and making McMansions.
It's the usual, in other words.
Yeah. They're laundering big suitcases up there. All over.
Anything you've noticed downtown? Because you've been around many years. You see any changes downtown you want to comment on?
Not really. I mean, I was thinking that they should give the kids a bunch of pickaxes and shit and dig up the intersections and make fish farms out there with all the asphalt. Plant fruit trees, nut trees, have wild goats and pigs and turkeys running around.
You're obviously a communist.
No, I'm a strict... I am that I am-ist.
Well put. And we've been talking with?
The right of refusal.
Thank you, sir.
And the first principle is resistance. Otherwise, you sign on the dotted line.
I tend to agree with you, Barbara.
I know. You come from them roots.
We've been talking with?
Oh.
If you wish to say.
The big bad wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. Any comments for Free Radio? Free Radio that you want to say?
You got some comments?
I'm sorry, what?
Any experiences you want to pass on or thoughts for Free Radio?
About this?
About this, about your experiences downtown, about this clown here, anything.
Man, I'm digging those shorts he's got on, I'll tell you what. I like the stars on the side there.
Oh, could this be the beginning of a beautiful relationship?
You never know. You never know. They could be standing right in front of you in line at Food for Bombs.
The carrots are good.
It's Food Not Bombs.
Right.
Anything else happened downtown you want to comment on?
No, I'm just really grateful for all the resources that there is for homeless and for veterans, which I'm both. So I'm much appreciated. Coming from San Diego, it's nothing like this.
How long have you been here?
Going on 5 years.
And are you inside or outside?
Inside, outside, both.
Any hassles while outside?
Just the common ones. I've been stopped by sheriffs and such, but then they've also turned around and bought me food because I was homeless. So
probably stopped more than bought you food, though. Or was it the other way around?
Definitely stopped more than bought food, but yeah.
And we've been talking with, if you want to say?
Raven.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been pretty chill.
No hassles?
No, I haven't been bothered about... No, I've been fine.
Any problems at Starbucks downtown? I'm asking about that restaurant particularly, that coffee shop.
Oh, I think everything's been pretty cool.
Excellent. You want to give your first name?
Oh, no, I prefer not to.
Thank you.
An apartment. Okay. No, I have no.
Things are going okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any street reports?
Yeah.
The droning that's going on towards people.
Now, tell me about that.
And, they've been trying to do it to make people go insane and stuff. And, like, prick them with needles and shit. the drones, little mini drones, and pricking with needles. I'd rather not go and stay with it. I could write some. Are there some other activists there that I could talk to?
Would you like some sour food?
Perhaps. Thank you.
Because I filed some reports with Ken, I think.
I do not know. Do not know. You want to say what you want to give a first name?
My name is Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
Julie Shaw, Santa Cruz Full Timers.
Julie, you got both hands
yes.
really full
I got
with
a
two.
A lot on my plate.
You, a lot on your bowls there. Yeah, a couple of heavy bowls. A lot of food in there.
It's good. Thank you, Food Not Bombs. Yeah, bless Food Not Bombs. You know about what's happening with Peggy Lee Kennedy? Okay, so you talked about that, and I couldn't get through the form to tell them that I oppose any more vehicle dwelling bans.
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, but I did have Garcetti's email address because I signed up for some email lists, so I emailed him directly.
Good for you.
So hopefully it shows up in the mix.
He will probably immediately put a hold on the whole thing.
Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be good. I'm getting a lot of mixed reports. Some people are saying yes, that you can car camp, and some people say no. So I don't know what... What's going on?
You mean you're getting reports from the city council down there?
Vehicle dwellers.
In Los Angeles?
Yes. I'm reading with their communications.
Where can people find this information online?
I read a lot of van dweller, van life, van dweller, RV dweller. Oh, this one, Prius camping. This guy has been Prius camping in his Prius for a long, long time, 55 miles to a gallon. And he has it all set up with a galley and everything. He cooks his food in his Prius, and he blogs about it on Prius camping.
Is
car
he generally
camping.
Left alone because of his high class?
Yes, because he, oh my gosh, he posted exactly where he sleeps, and he has a whole dossier on everything that he does. He exposes everything, and nobody cares because it's so perfect the way that he outlines it, that it's not going to cause problems for anybody, and it's legal, and he has this blog, and that's why I want everyone to see it. It's not shareable. You have to sign up for the group.
How Prius, can you get there?
Prius camping on Facebook. And so if you sign up for there, you'll see his latest posting about where he has parked for the last however long, how many years, and it's perfect. It's like everything that you need to know if you're ever going to car camp. And it's not going to be stepping on anyone's toes. He's not giving GPS coordinates or anything like that. But the ideas and suggestions he's putting forth are ideal, a win-win situation for everybody.
Now, what about Santa Cruz? You, of course, are a car camper.
It's very volatile right now. It's very highly volatile. There's vandalism. However, there are a lot of RVs on Delaware last night. I see people car camping at Total Fitness over on Mission Street Extension and Natural Bridges Drive. I see people car camping over by CVS and Mission Street. This is just last night. I don't know if they're getting ticketed or not, but I did the rounds. I went all over San Jose, and I went all over the west side of Santa Cruz. And we looked at tents in San Jose. We looked at camps in San Jose. But there was a lot of vehicles here last night, maybe because of the wharf-to-wharf race that happened today. But I was surprised to see there was people in the CVS parking lot after midnight in vans, van dwellers.
And the date that Julie is talking about was July 28th for all of you archivists.
And down by Swanton and Delaware, a lot of car campers were there. It was amazing. And I didn't see any trouble, no problems.
Do you have much connection with any of these folks? We've talked to any of them?
I don't recognize these people from last night, actually, most of them. A lot of people are changing vehicles right now, so it's hard to tell who's driving what vehicle. A lot of people are doing the old switcheroo, probably for smog reasons. It's hard to keep the vehicle smog, as Mr. Amco here knows.
That's our mechanic friend who's listening
Michael the mechanic. He has a blog, too.
Yeah.
Michael Mechanic. We were talking about our favorite stories from Michael the Mechanic. One time when he worked for
stealing a police car, but I had the entire Santa Cruz police force on.
I think we talked about this once, Mike.
I don't know if we did.
That's one of my favorite campfire stories is how Michael Roberts got chased by the police when he was fixing a police car for Amco. He was taking it for a test drive, and then they didn't know that he was a mechanic.
A suspicious driver. Now he's driving a yellow bike. Be on the lookout.
I just found
That's beautiful.
Santa Cruz. That's a great deal.
Gorgeous.
With the back hitch.
That's a keeper. Do you need a bike rack? I have a nice bike rack that goes on the back hitch.
I do.
Okay, I have it over on the west side. Okay. I'm storing it in one of my many vehicles. When you're a vehicle dweller, you should have more than one vehicle.
Just in case.
I have to figure out. I'm going to communicate with you. Are you still? You're not on Facebook anymore?
I'm messaging.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I'm Facebook.
I check my Facebook every morning.
We'll leave these two negotiating. We've been talking with
my son with Santa Cruz Films. He likes to film fire trucks and all that. And so it's hard to say. I heard that there are some things happening at NYC Marks right now. So they're probably waiting for me to go, and so they can. I'm the driver. And they film. They're like little film guys. So I'm supposed to be driving them around.
All right, we'll let you go. We've been talking with
Julie Shaw, Santa Cruz Full-Timers.
As well as with
Mike Roberts.
Thank you, Mike.
And
thank you, Julie.
I have to say, one of our other favorite campfire stories about Michael Roberts was when he had a little fire pit on top of his vehicle. And he thought it was out.
No.
He thought the fire was out, and he was driving. The embers caught again. And the it reignited.
Burned down City Hall. Congratulations, Mike.
No.
All right.
No, he was driving his vehicle with a little bonfire on top of it, driving around. Yeah.
Is that correct, Mike, or is she exaggerating?
That was very interesting, Julie.
He has lots of interesting stories, man. Way more than that, and you have to see his blog, Michael Roberts. He has a blog about travels.
And where is that blog, Mike?
He writes a lot.
I have a lot of
them. Where can they find it? Yeah, Michael Roberts. You'll know it when you see it because it's
Facebook or it's a blog?
I'm on Facebook. I don't really have any blog. I do have some very old blog.
He writes.
Happy Camper USA Michael.
Happy Camper USA Michael.
That was one that I started back 8 years ago when I knew you.
It's worth the effort to find this.
That was right after I got kicked out of UCLA for making psychedelic drugs.
But you're sort of an old timer now, aren't you? I mean,
now
you know,
there's maps
you're
at UCSC. There's maps up there. The psychedelic studies.
Yeah,
they pay
over there. I tried to contact him on Facebook. Yeah, like everybody else, they're scared of me.
Well, you're a little too radical for some.
I'm radicalized.
You're too far out there.
Yeah,
I get all my ideas from the trees.
They feel threatened that he could take over their position for being a professor.
I go talk to the trees, and the trees give me wisdom that's far superior to what people have.
And he shares that wisdom in his blogs, and it's worth checking out. I mean, I can only touch 10%.
You're talking about my general Facebook page. That's where I do most of my posting, but I'm always creating new blogs. I noticed this very interesting thing. I was trying to find my Facebook page on somebody else's phone, this girl that I met at a concert, and I could not find it on her phone. It's like I was blocked. Very interesting. So I don't know how to tell you to find my Facebook page, but I'm Mike Roberts.
If you come to Santa Cruz Full Timers and RV Parking Rights, we'll get past that block.
Fair enough.
Did you hear me, Mr. Zuckerberg?
Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm very radical.
Both tourists and homeless share a need for bathrooms or water closets.
But that's a fundamental silent thing with tourists. When they go into a place and they see how they're treated in that respect, it makes a big difference in how they feel about the place. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. It's a very old tourist market. And one of the things that you find is very surprising, very pleasant, is the access and the convenience and the really surprisingly nice nature of a lot of the bathrooms. And say for like Jackson Hole, Wyoming is another tourist spot. And I was really amazed going to town, and it's just the center of town, but right next to it is this big welcome center, and it's really just a huge, big, nice bathroom. It's open 24 hours. But here you have to sort of, you got to buy coffee, or you got to know where it's at, you got to ask somebody.
It's kind of hard to buy coffee at 2 in the morning unless you go to, I guess, Denny's is the only place that's open.
Right, and I didn't think about it. I've been hanging around Fifth Avenue for 10 years, but one night I was there in the early morning going to get coffee at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I see where these people are going to the bathroom, and it's on the sidewalk, and it's in the street, and it's against the trees, and, you know. So I guess what they're going to try to do is just run them out of town, and I'm sure that's part of the 5G thing, is you make it very uncomfortable to be in the area. But, you know, to increase the tourist market would really answer, that would be the one thing that they could do to make a big difference there. I'm talking about people coming from other countries, you know. We have a lot to offer. I mean, the little town is quaint and unique in a lot of ways, but the market is going to be more interested in things that don't really develop, like the hiking potential here, you know, the access to really nice a great variety of toilets. For example, I just rode my bike up past Wilder Ranch this morning. Just this old one-speed bicycle from the boardwalk. You know, it's just, you know, it's a great tourist place, but it needs that. And I think if the homeless people should sort of focus on that and make them aware that it's not just a homeless problem.
Now, are you outside yourself, Mike?
I've lived outside for probably 15, 20 years.
Any hassles from cops?
The last hassle I got was for lighting up my pipe on Pacific Avenue in front of Five Guys one night, and I got a $250 ticket, which I'm going to fight.
Good. Now, when was that?
It's been about a month and a half ago. I took one toke off my pipe, and I'm standing out in front of Five Guys, not on the sidewalk, but in their private seating area, where there's no smoking sign. You expect me to know that this SC Mooney code, whatever, which is above my line of sight, that I'm supposed to see that, and it says no smoking, and I see people smoking down here. I've been down here for 10 years, and all of a sudden I got an answer to this guy. You know, it's just...
How many cops were involved in this?
Intimidation. Two. There was a male and a female, and that's what they do. They walk up and down the street looking for people. I see them hiding doorways, and they're looking for people they can sneak up on and catch smoking so they can write them a ticket.
How can you say that about our police department?
Because I saw it in action.
Yeah, well, that's a good reason.
They filmed it. They filmed my interaction, so they can look it up and they can see that I resisted arrest. The officer came up and he said he asked me for my ID, and I said, well, what if I don't want to give you my ID? He said, well, I'll call him and they'll come and pick you up and we can go downtown. So basically he threatened to arrest me if I didn't give him my ID just because he saw me light my pipe. And then he, of course, threatened to take me downtown, basically, if I did not sign the ticket. So it's all about...
Coercion?
Coercion, yeah, exactly. I don't want to go downtown. I think what he's doing is ridiculous. I do not buy into the idea that they have the right to do this, to make this kind of law.
And I tend to agree with you. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
And one thing to consider doing under those circumstances, particularly when you're charged with a municipal code, if you feel there's no probable cause for your citation, or if you feel that you would like to essentially give a cost to the officer who is inconveniencing you, wasting public money, engaging in a kind of abusive, see, look at my authority type activity. If you are given the citation during business hours, Monday through Friday, ask instead before you sign to be taken to a court, to be taken to a magistrate, because that is, in fact, at least some years ago, and I believe it's still the case, part of not just the California law, you have the right to do that, to establish whether there's probable cause at that moment, and or also it's part of the police policy and practices of the Santa Cruz Police Department. It was through the work of Attorney Kate Wells and Richard Quigley, a bike helmet activist. That's a motorcycle bike helmet activist. He believed motorcyclists should have the option as to whether to wear their helmets or not and not face harassment by CHPsters going after them if they don't. And he made quite a struggle of it while he was around. And one of the things he established was this right to get to a magistrate, which has always, apparently, I don't know for how always, but has been part of state law and currently was when he was around about 10 or 15 years ago. I don't think that it's changed. You can ask to go see a magistrate immediately, and a police officer can take you into court, and then they write you the citation there if the judge agrees there's probable cause. So particularly if you feel this is a completely bogus citation, you can do that. In theory, the courts are supposed to have a magistrate's clerk at the jailhouse. This is what people who believe in this approach to the and have used it. And I've actually seen it used several times, and it actually has worked in Santa Cruz, although admittedly that was about 17 years ago when there was a case of Becky Johnson, an activist on the sidewalk who was arrested for chalking something about ending the sleeping ban. And she was not violating the law, she felt, because she was doing it in a place where there was no code that criminalized it. She was taken in, and she and a fellow activist don't know how the ticket was eventually resolved, but it did require the police officers to go into court and took them off the streets away from harassing people for at least that period of time. So, and of course, if enough people were doing this, it might make the police department change its priorities, which of course has been the whole point with respect to struggles in the court around the sleeping ban, and where you want to not just crowd the courts, but crowd the police so that they get back to the jobs they're supposed to be doing instead of this penny-ante chicken shit stuff. So that about wraps it up for the contemporary here and now part of our show. Now we're going to flash back to an earlier show from October 23rd of 2003. And the focus is largely on the De Anza rent control gutting that happened then. De Anza Mobile Home Park is one of the two mobile home parks in Santa Cruz. Well, there are three. One is actually the owner, owned by the actual residents. This one was they paid rent to a company, and actually there were two of them, two different mobile home parks. This was the first one where rent control had been guaranteed by the city council and by the city attorney, and then was gutted. And in response, the De Anza people mounted a referendum. They actually got enough signatures, and had a very short period of time. They only had a month to do it, to overturn a city council action. And they chickened out. But this talks about the issue, which I think is important, because we did have rent control in Santa Cruz, at least in mobile home parks, for a while. Now that's been gutted in both of them because the city was afraid of lawsuits by the large corporate owners. Not something that a lot of us felt they should run from, but you get to hear some of that discussion now. Gosh, I don't know, 15, 16 years later. Thanks for listening to this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I'll be available by phone if you want to reach me at 423-4833. If you've got some news that you want out there, if you've got some questions about what you've heard, if you'd like to get more involved in activism that you can kind of hear me talking about on these shows. And I'll be back presumably on Sunday, unless I find something, and who knows, better to do. Never can tell. Enjoy.
Hello, I am Bernie Sanders. As you can tell by my accent, I am from Vermont. Well, as you know, I recently introduced a bill calling for single-payer health care. Basically, Medicare for everyone. Now, as you know, Medicare began under President Johnson back in 1965, when I was a mere 63 years old. But Medicare isn't just popular with Democrats. No, did you know that Dick Cheney has used it to have every organ in his body replaced? He has no original parts. You've had to issue him a whole new Social Security number. Even still, some people are calling this a left-wing proposal, but I'm an independent. I never wanted to be a Democrat or a Republican because I refused to join a party that would have me as a member. That's a joke for my favorite Marx brother, Carl. Now, yes, thank you, comrades, yes. Yes, you get me, yes. Now, I am here today to say that I will be running in 2020, and I think you will like what I am proposing. All for free, if you just vote for me. There's no fee for college tuition. If your son is headed for jail now, we've got funds to send him to Yale now. Do you work for a boss who's a jerk? Hey, get paid leave for mental distressing. If you are smart, take my bleeding heart and have it installed for free. Tummy tucks used to cost major bucks. Hey, get yours now before swimsuit season. Do you think that your dog is no fox. Well, we've got funds for dogs who need Botox. Don't resist. Join with this socialist. Hey, if I run, what Veep should I run with? For diversity, a rich minority. Hey, I heard that OJ's free. Hey!
And my apologies for all the right-wing ageist tropes, which are... horseshit, of course. See you next broadcast, or I should say, I won't see you and you won't see me, but I'll be talking at you.